Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Self-Assembling Brain, How Neural Networks Grow Smarter, by Peter Robin Hiesinger, narrated by Joel Richards. Prologue. Once there was an alien who found an apple seed from Earth.
"This looks funny," it said.
"I wonder what it does."
The alien was very smart. In fact, it was the smartest alien there ever was. And it scanned the apple seed with the most sophisticated scanning machine that ever existed or that would ever exist. The scan worked well, and the alien got all the information there was in the seed. The alien immediately saw and understood the way the molecules were arranged, every single one of them, the genetic code, the entire information content of the DNA sequence. It was all there, and it was beautiful. There were patterns in the sequence for which the computer provided a complete analysis. The computer calculated the most advanced mathematics and showed that the code was profound. It had meaning. But what did it do? And so the alien thought, "Now that I have all the information that could ever be extracted from the seed, I want to find out what information it can unfold in time." And the alien took the seed and let it grow. The alien watched the tree's growth with surprise and curiosity, and it saw the branches, the leaves, and finally the apples. And the alien took an apple and said, "I would never have guessed it would look like that." And then it took a bite. Introduction. There are easier things to make than a brain. Driven by the promise and resources of biomedical research, developmental neurobiologists are trying to understand how it is done. Driven by the promise and advances of computer technology, researchers in artificial intelligence, AI, are trying to create one. Both are fields of contemporary research in search of the principles that can generate an intelligent system, a thing that can predict and decide, and maybe understand or feel something. In both developmental neurobiology and AI based on artificial neural networks, ANNs, scientists study how such abilities are encoded in networks of interconnected components. The components are nerve cells, or neurons, in biological brains. In AI, the term neuron has been readily adopted to describe interconnected signaling components, looking back on some 70 years of ANN research. Yet to what extent the biological analogy is useful for AI research has been a matter of debate throughout the decades. It is a question of how much biological detail is relevant and needed, a question of the type of information necessary to make a functional network. The information problem underlies both fields. What type of information is necessary to wire a brain? What do biologists mean when they say something is encoded by genes? And how is genetic information transformed into a brain? And finally, to what extent is the same type of information required to wire up biological brains or to create artificial intelligence? This book is about the information problem and how information unfolds to generate functional neural networks. In the case of biological brains, prior to learning, the information for developmental growth is encoded in the genome. Yet there are no chapters about brain regions or their connectivity to read in the genome. In fact, compared to the information necessary to describe every detail necessary to make a functioning brain, there is rather little information available in the genome. Growth requires genetic information plus time and energy. Development happens in steps that occur in space and time in an ordered fashion. The outcome is a system that would require more information to describe than was needed to start its growth. By contrast, most ANNs do not grow. Typically, an artificial network with initially random connections learns from data input in a process that is reminiscent of how biological brains learn. This process also requires time and energy. Learning also occurs in steps, and the order of these steps matters. There are important similarities and differences between these stepwise, time and energy-consuming processes. The current hope for AI, based on ANNs, is that the learning process is sufficient, and that a developmental process analogous to biological brains can therefore be omitted. Remarkably, there was a time in neurobiology research almost 100 years ago when scientists felt much the same about the brain itself. It was inconceivable where the information for wiring should come from other than through learning. The idea was that, just like ANNs today, the brain must initially be wired rather randomly, and subsequent learning makes use of its plasticity. But if this were so, how could, say, a monarch butterfly be born with the ability to follow thousands of miles of a migration route that it has never seen before? As temperatures drop in the fall in North America, millions of monarch butterflies migrate for up to 3,000 miles to overwinter in Mexico. Remarkably, millions of butterflies distributed over close to 3 million square miles in the north all target only a few overwintering sites that cover less than a single square mile. Many theories have been put forth as to how a butterfly could do this. Similarly remarkable, an individual sea turtle will return over thousands of miles to the very beach where it was born, many years later. We do not know how sea turtles do it, but it is conceivable that they had learned and can remember something about a place where they had once been before. This is where the story of the monarch butterfly turns from remarkable to downright unbelievable. The butterflies that started out in the north will overwinter in the south until temperatures rise next spring. Then they start flying north again, but only a few hundred miles. At different places in the southern United States, they stop, mate, lay eggs, and die. A new generation of monarchs picks up the trail north, but again, only for a few hundred miles. It usually takes 3 to 5 generations for a full round trip. By the time temperatures drop again in the fall in North America, a monarch butterfly is about to embark on the 3,000-mile trip south to a precise location that was last visited by its great-great-grandfather. Where is this information coming from? The currently almost exclusive focus of AI on ANNs is a highly successful but recent development. It followed several decades during which AI and machine learning focused on formal, symbol processing logic approaches, rather than the somewhat enigmatic neural networks. For most of its history, AI researchers tried to avoid the complexities and messiness of biological systems altogether. How does information about the role of a gene for a neuronal membrane protein help to program an intelligent system? The history of AI is a history of trying to avoid unnecessary biological detail in trying to create something that so far only exists in biology. The observation begs the question, what information can safely be deemed unnecessary? To address this question, we need to look at biological and artificial brain development from the information perspective. An assumption and hope of AI research has long been that there is a shortcut to creating intelligent systems. We may not yet know what shortcuts work best, but it seems a good idea to at least know exactly what it is we are trying to leave out in attempts to create non-biological brains. My hope is that an understanding of the way information is encoded and transformed during the making of biological brains proves useful in the discussion of what can and cannot be shortcut in the making of AI. This is the story of a neurobiologist tracking down that information. The perspective of neurobiological information. The biological brain is a complicated network of connections, wired to make intelligent predictions. Common analogies for brain wiring include circuit diagrams of modern microprocessors, the electrical wiring installations in skyscrapers, or the logistics of transportation networks in big cities. How are such connections made during brain development? You can imagine yourself trying to make a connection by navigating the intricate network of city streets. Except, you won't get far, at least not if you are trying to understand brain development. There is a problem with that picture, and it is this. Where did the streets come from? Most connections in the brain are not made by navigating existing streets, but by navigating streets under construction. For the picture to make sense, you would have to navigate at the time the city is growing, adding street by street, removing and modifying old ones in the process. All the while, traffic is a part of city life. The map changes just as you are changing your position in it. And you will only ever arrive if the map changes in interaction with your own movements in it. The development of brain wiring is a story of self-assembly, not a global positioning system, GPS. When engineers design the electrical wiring in a building or a computer microchip, they have the final product in mind. We make blueprints to understand and build engineered systems with precise outcomes. A blueprint shows a picture of the final product, the endpoint. A blueprint also contains all the information needed to build that product. It largely doesn't matter in what order the pieces are put in, as long as everything is in place when you flip the on switch. But there is no blueprint for brain connectivity in the genes. There is also no such information coming from the environment. If neither the genes nor the environment contain endpoint information of connectivity, what kind of information do they contribute? Genetic information allows brains to grow. Development progresses in time and requires energy. Step by step, the developing brain finds itself in changing configurations. Each configuration serves as a new basis for the next step in the growth process. At each step, bits of the genome are activated to produce gene products that themselves change what parts of the genome will be activated next. A continuous feedback process between the genome and its products. A specific step may not have been possible before and may not be possible ever again. As growth continues, step by step, new states of organization are reached. Rather than dealing with endpoint information, the information to build the brain unfolds with time. Remarkably, there may be no other way to read the genetic information than to run the program. This is not a trivial statement to make, and it will take some explaining. If there is no way to read the genetic code other than running it, then we are principally unable to predict exact outcomes with any analytical method of the code. We can simulate it, all right, but the result would not have been predictable in any way other than actually running the whole simulation. The information is in the genes, but it cannot be read like a blueprint. It really is a very different type of information that requires time and energy to unfold. The perspective of algorithmic information. Scientists in non-biological fields are more familiar with this type of information. There is a simple game where you draw lines of X's or O's, or black dots versus blanks, based on simple rules that produce remarkable patterns. Imagine a single X in a row of an infinite number of O's, and a simple rule that determines for each triplet of X's and O's whether there is an X or an O in the next row. To find out the next line, you read the first three characters, write the output X or O underneath the center of the triplet below, then move one character and do it again for the next partially overlapping triplet. One rule, called Rule 110, comes across innocently enough like this. Triplet in previous row, XXX, XXO, XOX, XOO, OXX, OXO, OOX, O-O-O. Determines in the next row, O, X, X, O, X, 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 O. For example, starting with one X, O, 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 X, O, 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 will lead to the next row, O, 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 X, X, O, 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 O. Repeating this process again and again, using each previous line to apply the rule and write the next one below, will create a two-dimensional pattern. The repeated application of defined rules is an iteration, a rule set that uses the output of each preceding step as the input of the next step defines an algorithm. The two-dimensional pattern is the outcome of algorithmic growth based on the iterative application of simple rules. But what does this game have to do with brain development? Shockingly, for the simple rule noted earlier, the two-dimensional pattern turns out to be so surprisingly complicated that it was proven to contain, at some point of its pattern growth process, any conceivable computation. Mathematicians call this a universal Turing machine, or Turing complete. This is not an intuitive concept. The information content of the underlying code is absurdly low, yet it can produce infinite complexity. What is more, there is no analytical method to tell you the pattern at iteration 1000. If you want to know, you must play the game for 1000 rounds, writing line by line. These systems are called cellular automata and are a beloved model for a branch of mathematics and the research field of artificial life, A-life. Some A-lifers consider AI a subfield. Many AI researchers don't care much about A-life, and neither of them care much about developmental neurobiology. In information theory, the cellular automaton, described earlier, highlights an important alternative to describing complete endpoint information. Instead of a precise description of every detail of the pattern after 1,000 iterations, a complete description of the system is also possible by providing the few simple rules plus the instruction, apply these rules 1,000 times. The information required to generate the complete system is also known as a Kolmogorov complexity in algorithmic information theory. Data compression algorithms do exactly that. An image of a uniformly blue sky is easily compressed because its algorithmic information content is low. Paint the next 10,000 pixels blue. By contrast, a picture cannot be easily compressed if every pixel has a randomly different color and no repeating patterns. In the case of the cellular automaton, Kolmogorov complexity is very low, while endpoint information required to describe the system becomes infinite, with infinite iterations. The algorithmic information content required to create the system are a few instructions plus time and energy, while the endpoint information content is enormous in the case of many iterations. The Rule 110 cellular automaton provides us with a simple example of an algorithmic growth process that can generate more information based on simple rules, and yet its output can only be determined by letting it grow. More information is defined here as the information needed to describe the output if there were no growth process. However, in contrast to biological systems, Rule 110 can only produce one fixed outcome with every iteration based on a set of rules that never change. For these reasons alone, Rule 110 cannot be a sufficient model for biological systems. Yet, Rule 110 teaches us that unpredictable unfolding of information is possible, even with very simple rules in a deterministic system. For Rule 110, there is a proof, the proof of Turing universality. For biological growth based on the genetic code, we face many more challenges. The rules are more complicated and change with every iteration of the running algorithm, and stochastic processes are central to its run. if a simple system like Rule 110 can already be unpredictable, then we should not be surprised if algorithmic growth of biological systems turns out to be unpredictable. However, the proof for biological systems seems currently out of reach. The idea that information unfolding based on genomic information cannot be mathematically calculated, but instead requires algorithmic growth or a full simulation thereof, is a core hypothesis of this book. A shared perspective. Biologists like to talk about the genes that contain a certain amount of information to develop the brain, including its connectivity. But in order to appreciate the information content of genes, we must understand the differences and consequences of information encoding for a self-assembling system versus a connectivity map. The genetic code contains algorithmic information to develop the brain, not information that describes the brain. It can be misleading to search for endpoint information in the genes or the mechanisms of the proteins they encode. Address codes, navigational cues, and key and lock mechanisms all follow such a rationale and make intuitive sense. And they all exist as molecular mechanisms, in brain wiring as elsewhere in biology. But they are a part of unfolding algorithmic information, not endpoint information of brain connectivity. As the brain grows, different genes are turned on and off in a beautiful ballet in space and time, endowing each individual neuron with a myriad of properties that play out and change in communication with its neighbors. The neuron navigates as the city map grows and changes in interaction with the neuron's own movement in it. The study of genes in developmental neurobiology is a success story from at least two perspectives. First, in the quest for molecular mechanisms. What a gene product does at any point in time and space during brain development tells us something about a part of the growth program that is currently executed. But information about a specific molecular mechanism may only be a tiny part of the information that unfolds in the wake of a random mutation in the genome. A mutation can lead to more aggressive behavior of the animal. And yet, the mutation may well affect some metabolic enzyme that is expressed in every cell of the body. The molecular function of the gene product may tell us nothing about animal behavior. How the molecular mechanism of this gene is connected to the higher order behavior may only be understood in the context of the brain's self-assembly, its algorithmic growth. Many mutations have been found that change predispositions for behavioral traits. Yet there may be only very few cases that we could reasonably call a gene for a trait. Most gene products contribute to develop the trait in the context of many other gene products, but do not contain information about the trait itself. A mutation, selected by evolution for behavioral changes, must change either brain development or function. If the effect is developmental, then we have to face the information problem. There may be no way to know what the altered code produces, other than running the entire process in time, or simulating it on a computer. There may be no shortcut. This is the problem with the street navigation analogy. You have to navigate a changing map on a path that only works if the map changes just as you are navigating it. The full route on the map never existed, neither at the beginning nor at the end of your trip, but instead, the route was made in interaction with your own actions. This is the essence of self-assembly. We can study self-assembly either as it happens in biology or by trying to make a self-assembling system from scratch. As of 2020, biological neural networks, that is, brains, are still unparalleled in their intelligence. But AI is on it. And yet, self-assembly is not a major focus of AI. For many years, AI focused on formal symbol processing logic, including enormous expert systems built on decision-making trees. As recently as the early 2000s, the victory of formal logical symbol processing AI was declared. Since then, just when some thought we were done with neural networks, a revolution has taken place in AI research. In the few years since 2012, practically every AI system used to predict what friends or products we allegedly want has been replaced with neural networks. Deep learning is the name of the game in AI today. The ANNs we use as tools today are not grown by a genetic code to achieve their initial architecture. Instead, the initial network architecture is typically randomly connected and thus contains little or no information. Information is brought into an ANN by feeding it large amounts of data based on a few relatively simple learning rules. And yet, there is a parallel to algorithmic growth. The learning process is an iterative process that requires time and energy. Every new bit of data changes the network. And the order matters, as the output of a preceding learning step becomes the input of the next. Is this a self-assembly process? Do we ultimately need algorithmic growth or self-assembly to understand and create intelligence? One obvious problem with the question is that the definition of intelligence is unclear. But the possible role of self-assembly may need some explaining too. In the search for answers, I went to two highly respected conferences in late summer 2018. An artificial life conference themed Beyond Artificial Intelligence by the International Society for Artificial Life and the Cold Spring Harbor meeting, Molecular Mechanisms of Neuronal Connectivity. I knew that these are two very different fields in many respects. However, my reasoning was that the artificial life and artificial intelligence communities are trying to figure out how to make something that has an existing template in biological systems. Intelligent neural networks do exist. I have seen them grow under a microscope. Surely, it must be interesting to AI researchers to see what their neurobiology colleagues are currently figuring out. Shouldn't it help to learn from the existing thing? Surely, the neurobiologists should be equally interested in seeing what AI researchers have come up with, if just to see what parts of the self-assembly process their genes and molecules are functioning in. Alas, there was no overlap in attendance or topics. The differences in culture, language, and approaches are remarkable. The neurobiological conference was all about the mechanisms that explain bits of brains as we see them, snapshots of the precision of development. A top-down and reverse engineering approach to glimpse the rules of life. By contrast, the A-lifers were happy to run simulations that create anything that looked lifelike. Swarming behavior, a simple process resembling some aspect of cognition, or a complicated representation in an evolved system. They pursue a bottom-up approach to investigate what kind of code can give rise to life. What would it take to learn from each other? Have developmental biologists really learned nothing to inform artificial neural network design? Have A-lifers and AI researchers really found nothing to help biologists understand what they are looking at? I wanted to do an experiment in which we try to learn from each other, an experiment that, if good for nothing else, would at least help to understand what it is that we are happy to ignore. So I assembled a seminar series, a workshop, about the common ground of both fields. The seminars are presented from the perspective of a neurobiologist who wants to know how our findings on brain development relate to the development of ANNs and the ultimate goal of artificial general intelligence. Many neurobiologists feel that ANNs are nothing like the biological template, and many AI scientists feel that their networks should not try to resemble biology more than they currently do. The seminars are therefore presented with a broad target audience in mind. There is so little common ground that it is easily shared with any basic science-educated layperson. The average neurobiologist is a layperson when it comes to AI, and most ANN developers are laypeople when it comes to neurobiology. Developmental neurobiologists may feel they are not missing anything by not following the bottom-up approach of AI.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?